want God to have His way this morning.
Amen. Brother. Amen. Thank you, God.
Praise God.
Thank you for your presence. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to share a little bit of the Word of the Lord this morning. God give us the strength to do that. If you come to hear somebody preach 100 miles an hour this morning, you might be disappointed. Praise God. God's Word's still good. If it's slow or fast, amen. Amen. God laid some things on my heart a few weeks back, and I want to share with you this morning. If you'll stand with me and take your Bibles. I know Brother Woods had shared the last several Sundays in about the church in Thessalonica. I know he's covered some of these passages. But he left some meat on the bone still. Amen. So, praise God. I want to share some more, a few thoughts and a few things the Lord had laid on my heart. It might be a little different message this morning than we are accustomed to, though I have even ever preached. I just want to share something, and I want to just try to bring our attention to where we really are and where God wants to take us. And I want to, if you had a title for this, I want to share to you my resume to God, or your resume to God. You know, a lot of times when people are applying for a job, they have these resumes that they have. It gives all the list of abilities and degrees and different things that they have accomplished and the things that their abilities that they are able to do. And they submit that to their employer that they're applying the job for. And I want to share this morning our resume to God.
Amen.
Our resume to God. What would be on it? What would be on it if we was to turn one into God today? And I want to share that. 2 Thessalonians, just to give us some passage to go get started here. Chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church, the Thessalonians, and God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgments of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye suffer. Seeing is it a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and the flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I want to stop there. If you'll back up to verse 5, middle of verse 5 there. And I want to share a thought from this passage here, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. You say amen to God's words. You may be seated. Paul, in the beginning of his letter here, the second letter to the church, he gives praise unto the church for what they are doing, for what they are going through. He tells them in verse 3 that we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, for as is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Now here we find that Paul in his thanksgiving, he thanks God for what these people are doing, for what this church is doing. He gives not just goes and pats them on the back, But he praises God for what God is doing through these people and through this church here. He says, we are bound to thank God. It is our obligation. This word bound means obligation. We are our obligation to thank God for you and for what God is doing for you. And he tells us then, brethren, as it is meet or it is deserving to thank God for what is going on in your life, because you have faith, been faithful. You have stood the test. He says with the three things about them. He says your faith groweth exceedingly. Now in the first letter he talks about their faith. He talks about their labor of love and their patience and their hope that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So apparently somewhere between the letters he gets word of how God is working in this church. How they are growing and how their faith is abounding. He says, because your faith groweth exceedingly, or it increases. This word groweth exceedingly means to increase above ordinary. So obviously this church is really prospering in their faith towards God. And it's something that excites Paul. When he sees this church and God's working in this church, he's excited about that. He is so excited about that. He talks about that we thank God to other churches. We give honor to other churches and let other churches know, look, what these people are going through and about how God is keeping them and how God is working in their life. He talks about how we rejoice in other churches for what's taking place and what's going on in this church. He always gives God the credit. He always thanks God for what is taking place in this church. And their faith is growing exceedingly. I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting for a pastor to see his members growing. To see his members growing. To see some fruit from what his prayers and his studies and his preaching. And to see some results from that. And I think that's why Paul is so excited about this. He's seeing some results from his labors. The church is growing. They are abounding in faith. This word talking about abounding and their faith growing exceedingly. Not just talks about miracles and a sense that they had was performing great miracles and things along this line. There's more to faith than just that. But what he was talking about here in this faith is their confidence in God was increasing. Their confidence in God was increasing. There was a surety in them about what God was going to do in their life and that God was going to see them through, and their confidence in God was growing. That's something we must have, church, in this last day. Our faith in God must grow in these last days. And we need the miracles. We need these things. I understand that. But our confidence in God, that God for every little thing is going to see us through. He's going to take us and He's going to keep us through everything. And this church's faith was growing. They had charity one to another, he talks about. How their charity to of every one of you and all towards each other aboundeth. Their love for each other was growing. Their service to each other was growing. Apparently, maybe at one time they had service to each brother and labored for each brother and maybe had help for each other. But maybe it wasn't so much from the heart. They just did it out of duty. But now their love towards each other is growing, and now they are wanting to help each other. They find it it's joyful to help each other. It's good to be able to help each other when they're in need and in struggling. And this love to do that now was growing. And Paul's excited about that. You see, in this church, I'm telling you, when you have a church that has a love for one another, it'd be hard for Satan to come in and drive that wedge in between there and destroy it. But when we don't, when our love for one another doesn't abound, I'm telling you, you give him a crack and he can fit that wedge in there. And any of you just split woods, You can split a real hard piece of log if you can get that steel wedge started and keep beating it and beating on it and beating on it. It eventually will split apart and come apart. And that's what Satan wants to do. But when that love is there and the love abounds for each other, there's not going to be no place for Satan to put his wedge. There's not going to be no place for him to get started on, because the love abounds and will stop that enemy from coming in and trying to destroy us. He also says, it talks about there that their charity. Then in verse 4, he goes on down and says, though, that we ourselves glory in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecution and tribulations that you endure. This church was willing and going through a lot of persecution. And he talks about, though, that you had patience. You endured through this time. You had faith through this time. Through all your persecution and tribulations that you endured, you had patience, you had faith. You kept the faith. You didn't fall apart, in other words. When you went through these struggles and these hard times and persecution that was coming, I'm sure they had persecution everywhere they turned, from their families and from the governments and the people coming against the church and trying to destroy the church. Paul would go and he would go and preach the gospel. If you read in Acts about the church, that's like he'd go and he would preach the gospel and people would be converted, but there'd be that little group of Jews that would rise up and they would try to stop the work and the church being established, and they would try to stop that, and they would bring others in and they would gather other people in and they would make an uproar to try to stop the work in this city. And they was under a lot of persecution. Things that we don't face, church. Things that we don't go through. But through all this, they was willing to be patient and keep the faith. They endured it, church. They stood the test. And Paul was excited about that. During this persecution, the church didn't fall apart. The church kept going. They kept meeting. They kept the faith. They had confidence in God. God's going to see them through it. And Paul was excited about that. Then he goes in verse 5. Talks about the... right after verse 4, their persecution and tribulation they go through. He talks about, it says, in which is a manifest token of the righteousness judgment of God. This word, manifest token, is one word. And it means an indication. The patient, or the persecution and the tribulation that they were going through, and they kept the patience, they kept the faith, is an indication of the righteous judgment of God. Because God kept them through that. He didn't take the persecution away. He didn't stop the judgment that was coming against them as far as the city and things, tribulation. But God kept them through that. And Paul says, this is an indication of the righteous judgment of God. God's going to use what you are going through. This is an indication. This is a pinpoint here that God is going to use what you are going through, and He's going to make you worthy of the kingdom of God. Through these things that you are facing, and through these things that you are going through, it's going to make you worthy of the kingdom of God. Or it's going to count you worthy, as he talks about. It's going to count you worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. You're going through a lot here, church. He's talking about the church of Thessalonians. He's going through a lot here. And Paul's saying, don't worry about it. They're persecuting you. You're in a lot of tribulation. But what God's going to do is take that, and He's going to make you worthy of His kingdom. He's going to make you worthy of His kingdom. And what about all these, though, that are doing the persecution? What about all these that are bringing this tribulation upon them? Paul goes on in the next few verses and he addresses that. And he talks about what's going to happen to them. He talks about there, and he going down in verse 6, and seeing it as the righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation that trouble you. It's a righteous thing. For God to send tribulation to them, problems to them, judgment to them for what they are doing to you. God's a just God, He's telling us. They're persecuting you. They're putting you in the jails. They're trying to divide your homes. They're trying to do all these things. You're going to be worthy of my kingdom because you stayed faithful, and I will judge what they have done. And he talks about, is it a righteous thing with God to recompense or to repay them? Tribulation to them that trouble you. Verse 7 says, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Those of you at church there, you're going through a lot of things, but there's going to come a time that you're going to have rest. There's going to come a time that you're going to have perfect peace. There's going to come a time that you won't have no more suffering. He says, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. And he talks about that in verse 8. And he talks about in the flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going through something now, but just hold on. You're going to be worthy of my kingdom. And then when I come in the clouds of glory with my angels, I'm going to bring trouble to them. I'm going to bring vengeance to them like a flaming fire. And you are going to be in rest then. And you will be in peace then. You will be in safety then. Don't think that the world is getting away with what they are doing. God's going to judge. God's going to send vengeance upon them. We look at people are suffering, not so much in this country, but even in other countries, that are giving their lives for the gospel, even this day, this time period. I ain't talking about 1800s. I'm talking about today. They are being arrested, being persecuted, being had to go in hiding. There's going to come a day, I believe, that God's telling them, you stay faithful and you'll be worthy of my kingdom. You stay faithful and you'll be worthy of my kingdom. But those who are persecuting you, there's going to come a time that vengeance is going to come upon them. And you will be in rest, but I will judge them. Amen. Praise God. They're not getting away with it, church. The world is not getting away with what they're doing. The things and that's going on. I know this back in the 8th of July. And I had to go into the hospital for another round of chemo. The brother talks about Satan coming and to your mind and just keeps bombarding your mind with things. And that whole week I had to rebuke the enemy because he kept coming into my mind and just telling me how unfair this was. How unfair this was. The ride to the hospital, I was dreading going there and knew what was going to take place and just seeing sinners and ungodly people who are living in sin and seems like everything's going okay for them. And I had to rebuke that enemy. That he kept telling me, look how unfair God is to you. You try to live right and look what happens to you. They live in sin and look how good they've got it. And that thing just kept coming to me day after day, laying in the hospital bed. And I had to keep rebuking that in my mind that God is a just God. God is a fair God. And God knows what He is doing. And there's one day that He is going to send wrath upon the ungodly and the wicked. Go over in Psalms. I kind of knew about this Psalms. Psalms 73. And one night I grabbed my Bible. And I opened right to this Psalms. I believe God has given me a reassurance of this. Psalm 73 talks about this. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps have well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When you start looking at the wicked and their prosperity, your feet will begin to slip. And I had to keep rebuking that enemy. And he keep coming back. This, you're not God. Your God's not fair to you. Your God is not just to you. Verse 4, for there are no bands in their death, for their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than a heart could wish. They have more than a heart could wish. They are corrupt. Or this word corrupt means mock, and speak wickedly concerning the oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. How man can curse gods. And still, seems like they are prospering. Seems like their health is there. And then he talks about there that's, therefore, in verse 10, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? There's no knowledge in the Most High. There's no knowledge in the Most High. Belittling our gods. But then I had to keep on reading. I want to skip on down. I don't want to take a lot of time here. But go on down to verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Till I got God's words. Till I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are like utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakens, so our Lord, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee. I thought, God, forgive me for doubting how just you are, how good you are. You see the righteous, and you know what the righteous are going through as the church of Thessalonica was suffering persecution. But when we look at the wicked and they think they're getting away with it, and they think they're prospering, there's going to come a day that God is going to despise their image. There's going to come a day that God will send judgment upon them. And I'll be in rest. Amen. Praise God. I'll be in perfect rest. The wicked are not getting away with it, church. Don't let Satan take your mind there. Whatever you may face, if those temptations keep coming, God will see you through it. If the sickness keeps coming, God will see you through it. Amen. God has not turned His back on you, but God will help you through it. Amen. God didn't deliver me from the pain this week. He saw me through it. I walked through out of the hospital Friday afternoon. God gave me the strength to go forward. He will help you. He will take care of us. And the wicked He will judge in His day. Amen. Back in 2 Thessalonians, you may say, what's that got to do with my resume to God? That's just laying a little foundation here in Paul's letter. But he talks about, in back in chapter 1, verse 4, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. That you may be counted worthy. I want to take this passage here, and I think we can do a little bit of sanctified pretending here. We know we're all going to stand before God one day and we're going to be judged. Well, it's just kind of pretend. I don't want to belittle God or His kingdom in any way. But just think, when we that day comes, I know it won't be this way. But when you get before God, you're going to have your resume to hand to Him of what you've done to deserve this kingdom. And He's going to look back and He's going to want that resume. And He might want some references to go with it. Or maybe some letters of recommendation. A lot of times when you turn in that letter or you fill out an application for a job, they want some references or they want a letter or something from your former employee or for someone else that you have worked for. Or maybe a person that can recommend you. I know when I was driving a truck and filled out an application to drive a truck, I had to do this. Anybody can write on a piece of paper that you can drive a truck. You got a license in your back pockets that says that you know that you legally can drive a truck. But that don't mean you can drive a truck. They want some references. They want a letter from your former employee stating that you can drive a truck. They're going to go back and they're going to do some insurance checks and see if you've had any wrecks. Have you had any speeding tickets along these lines? They're going to do some research on you to see if you can really drive a truck. Because I had a lot of times when I was working there and new people would come in, a lot of times you would have men that was had the license to drive. But a lot of them was men who drove little single axle trucks that were automatics. Transmissions, and they would have just a little single axle drink trailer behind them. And they delivered Coca-Cola or a Pepsi's or something like that. And then you go stick these same guys in an 18-wheeler with a 15-speed transmission, and you put them in the middle of downtown Manhattan. It's a little difference. It's a little difference. And they would panic on you. I've been with them. And they go and they go in that and start to take off in that truck and never drove a standard transmission. But they had a license to drive the truck. So they had our company would start, you know, giving us, you know, where they had to start having letters of recommendation. So let's just pretend here that we're going to go and we're going to go before God. And God wants our resume of what we can do. And then He wants us to have a letter of recommendation from our former employee, which would be here on this earth. And He wants a letter stating what we have done for Him. And don't get quiet on me. You look nervous. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to take God's word out of content here. We're doing a little sanctifying pretending here. Amen. Praise God. So you stand before God and you hand Him that paper and that resume, that recommendations and things. Do you understand that our life here on earth and what we do determines where our position in heaven's going to be? Do we really understand that and grasp that? That we are going to one day rule and reign with Christ Jesus. And not everybody's going to have the same authority. It's going to depend on what that resume and that letter of recommendation says. Where you rule and reign and how much authority you have. I haven't lost my mind. Revelation chapter 2, if you'll turn with me. Verse 26. I told you it wouldn't be 100 miles an hour tonight. I'm going to have to pace myself. Chapter 2, verse 26, Revelation. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received my Father. Go to chapter 5, verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. 1 Corinthians, you'll go over there, please. Chapter 6. I'll begin at verse 1. Dare any of you to have a matter against another, or go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, you are unworthy to judge the smallest matter. I'm just going to be giving you some scripture just to prove my point. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Familiar verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also, what's it say? Reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. There's more passages and things to talk about along those lines. These are passages that let us know that we will rule and reign in heaven, in God's kingdom. And then there are scriptures that tell us and lets us know that everybody will not have the same authority or the same position. If you'll go over there with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. A certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now this is what Christ has done. He has left. He's not here in physical form. He has left. He has called his servants, which would be us. And he has given us, he stated in this parable, a job to do. A responsibility. He gave them, he called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. This word occupy talks about and deals with keep business going. Go along in business as usual. Take what I've given you and go out there in business and use it. It's not an occupy that we just sit around and wait for Christ to return. No, He's given us something here. He's left us His kingdom, and He's given us His Word, His Spirit, and prayer for us to work and to labor in the church.
Hallelujah.
And give us the responsibility.
Right.
Now what you do with that is going to determine where you stand in eternity. If you read on down, go to verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. He said unto them, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, and have thou authority over 10 cities. Imagine that. Have authority. Going to rule. Over 10 cities. The second came saying, Lord, that pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. There's a difference. An amount of authority there. One has 10, one has 5. They both don't have the same position in God's kingdom. Then he said, another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept laid up in the napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an ostrich man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto them, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an ostrich man, taking up that I lay not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou gavest not thy money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required of my own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. Different authorities here. And what we do here on this earth is going to determine that.
Amen.
It's going to determine our position in glory, church. And I think a lot of times we forget about that. I think a lot of times it doesn't concern us or bother us.
Amen,
that we just kind of go along through life and I'm just going to get to heaven. If I can just make it to heaven, that's all that matters.
Come on.
If you've got that mindset and those thinking, you may have a hard time getting there. Because the man that didn't do anything with what God gave him, it was taken away from him. And he was cast out. God's left us something. And what's your resume to God going to say on it? What's your letter of recommendation going to be when you stand before God? And you hand God that piece of paper. I know this is not how it's going to happen. I understand now. We're just pretending here. That's all right. And you hand that paper to him. He begins to read it. And he starts to read that letter of recommendation from your former boss here on earth. The work and labor you did. And he begins to read on there. And he says, I read here that you had some difficulties. Your former employee. You had some problems. I read here that there was times that your boss called you to come to the office and wanted you to talk with him. Spend some time with him. And he states here that you refused to do it. You wouldn't come. What am I referring to? A life of prayer. That God has a desire for us to spend that time in prayer with Him. And He has called us and wooed us many a times to come and spend time with Him in prayer. Spend time with Him in His Word. But you refused to. You was too busy. You was wanting to do your own thing. And you refused to go and spend that time in prayer. That's going to be on your letter when you stand before God. You think what God says, well, you know, God knows me. He understands.
Hallelujah.
You're exactly right. He knows you and He understands.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
He knows you and He understands exactly what's in your heart.
Yeah, come on,
and they ask Him. You want God, may ask you. You want to be a part of this kingdom. But here on earth, you would not spend time with me in prayer. But you wanted to rule and reign in my kingdom.
Come on, man.
But you wouldn't seek my face here on earth.
Come on.
Now we're really going to get quiet.
Come on,
we're really going to get quiet.
Hallelujah.
God's promised a lot to us, church. He's promised us a harvest.
Yes.
He's promised us these things. But I don't find anywhere throughout history that God just handed a harvest to a church. He had never handed a harvest to a group of people. He has promised us a harvest. But I've been reading through our books and men of old and pioneers. These men had to pray. They had to weep before God. They spent nights in prayer. They spent hours in prayer. They pleaded before God that God would give them souls. And they weren't satisfied until God gave them souls.
Amen.
John Hyde, he got up and says, God, you got to at least give me 4 souls a day Started out one, God, give me a soul a day. Then it went to two. God, I got to have two souls, one to Christ a day. Then it went to three and went to four. And he would not lay his head on the pillow until God gave him four souls that day.
God.
Prayed and wept before God.
Hallelujah.
Cried out to God. But what will it say on your resume? That you never was willing to rise up early and spend time seeking God for souls. Will it say on your resume that you was never willing to stay up late seeking for God for souls? Will that be what's on it?
Come on, brother. Come on.
Some of you think I done lost my mind with my hair. But that's what it's going to take, church.
Yes, amen.
We want the benefits, but are we willing to pay that price? If Brother Woods was to get up here and say, a week from tomorrow, we're going to have a day of prayer and fasting at the church. Would you come? Or would you say, well, I got to work. I got to go to my job. I got things I got to do. I'm not going to be able to make it. Maybe rightly so. But if you would get up here and say, a week from tomorrow, I've scheduled a boat to go deep sea fishing. Oh, I'll use one of my vacation days. I'll be there. I'll make it. I'm getting down where we live, church. I'm getting down to the roots here. Well, if he were to call us and say, it's me at the church at 4 in the morning, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. So would you be there? That's too early for me. I can't do that. But then along the same thing, he says, let's go to James River. The croakers are running. But we're going to have to meet here at 3 o'clock in the morning, get up there by daybreak. And we'll come. We'll come. Now you might get mad at me for this all over. But you're going to hand a resume to God. And what's it going to say on it, church? What's it going to say on it? We've got to get back, church. We're going to have to be a church that is willing to make these kind of sacrifices. That Satan is not just going to roll over and let a harvest come walking in this church. It's going to be a warfare. It's going to be a battle. And it's going to be won through prayer. Not a few minutes of prayer. It's going to be a time that you're going to have to rise in the morning and cry out to God. It's a time you're going to have to put away your meals and your pillow. And you're going to have to cry out to God. And it will be worth it all, church, if we'll get that mindset. You say, well, God never wakes me at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray for somebody. Maybe it is maybe because of the things that you are spending your time on. Maybe you got too much carnality going on and God can't wake you. You say, well, I don't believe that's the case. Well, then set your alarm and get up. It'll be all right. Get a hold of God. We talk about we're living in the last days, but we act like we're going to be here forever, church. Time's running out on us. It's time to get a hold of God. It's time to burn some midnight oil. You say, I can't worry. I struggle waking up early in the morning. Go to bed early. Whatever you've got to do. And I'm telling you, we're living in a generation that stays up late and sleeps in late. And I'm telling you, I don't know how you can fulfill the scriptures where Christ and throughout the scripture talks about rising early and seeking Him. And how Christ gave the example and He went out and He before daybreak and He prayed.
He did.
Glory to God.
Glory
to God. This is what it's going to take, church. But when you hand that letter of recommendation to God's. And he said, I don't see no place that you spent a night in prayer for him. I don't see any place that you prayed. What's God going to say? What's God going to say, church? Then he reads on down on your recommendation, your letter of recommendation from your former employee. And it states here that you had a hard time coming to work, being on work on time and coming together when the business opens and being a part of our group meeting early in the mornings when we started work. You was always late for that. A lot of businesses, when they start early in the morning, Lowe's does it. If you ever go to Lowe's there, and when they're first open, they have all the employees gathered together up there in front. And they have a manager there. He gives them a little pep rally. And he gives them that little pep rally. Gets them going. Tries to get them excited about being there. I've been in Dick's Sporting Goods one store and seen them one time when they was first, right when they was opening, walked in the door and all the employees right there, man, they was doing their little cheering thing. He was having a little rally, pumping them up. When I first moved here, I had a job over there in Plymouth at Weyerhaeuser, driving a dump truck. Weyerhaeuser was building on, and they had a big company, big contract. Steel company that out of Alabama that was doing all the work. Singleton was subcontracting from them, and I was driving a dump truck for them. Anyhow, we get up there early in the morning, you got all these steel workers from this company. And then they would make them all get together before they started work and do calisthenics, jumping jacks, stretches, do all those things. Try to prevent them from pulling muscles and things. Get them warmed up. Now you talk about a sight, a bunch of long-haired hippies with beer bellies trying to do jumping jacks. Things like that. And bending over and touching their toes and things like that. It was a sight. But my point was, God reads on your resume, you had a hard time coming to those meetings. Hebrews chapter 10. What am I referring to? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, church. I understand there's times that our house is in the ditch. I know there's times. I would have loved to have been here last Sunday, but there was no physical way I could come. I know there's times like that. I know there's times that your ox is in the ditch. But sometimes we steer our ox in the ditch. We can prevent him from going in the ditch. We just pay a little attention. And there is sometimes that the ox may go in the ditch. And you didn't just tell your ox, ox, I'll come and get you out when church is over. You're okay in that ditch. There's a little bit of water. There's some grass for you down there. You'll be fine until I get back. That's what you got to do, church.
Hallelujah. Come
on, man. If you have no desire to assemble with the saints, you have no desire to be in God's kingdom. You're not going to make it, church. You need to get them to reality. If you can't assemble yourself here, you're not going to assemble yourself over there. You're not going to want to gather with the saints. It's very important. He tells us in these last days how much more we must do these things, church.
Amen, amen.
I hope that you understand it. There's times that I've gotten right out of the hospital and come to church and pushed myself to come. And I hope you don't think I'm trying to prove something or try to act like I'm Mr. Tough Guy. You got it all wrong. I come because I'm weak. And I need you guys. I need the prayer of the saints. I need the fellowship of the saints. I need to gather together and worship to God with the saints, because it brings strength to me. It gives me that strength. It's one thing to lay in a hospital bed and read God's Word and sing a little song, or at the house. It's a whole other thing to get together with a whole group of God's people and worship the Lord together and hear God's Word preached. It's a whole lot more strength, church. I can listen to the brother preach on that phone. I'm glad we got that technology. But it's nothing like coming together and being in the presence of the saints, in the presence of God. It gives you strength, church. That's why I push myself. Because I'm weak and I need God to help me. And you guys give me strength, and I need your prayers. That's why you need to be here. That's why you need to be here also. He says, the much more as you see that day approaching. If you could just lay out church all the time, you don't believe God is soon to come. You don't believe we're living in the last days. Because if you did, you would be there. You would want to be there. You would want to grow in the Lord. You want to be strengthened by each other. But what's it going to say on your resume that you hand to God? Is it going to say you had trouble getting here? Is it going to say you missed a lot? Is it going to say you're always late? What's it going to say on that? God knows. God knows. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. If we got differences, get them worked out. God's coming. God's coming. Don't think that you're just going to get to heaven and all the problems, your differences are going to be gone. No. More than likely, one of you ain't going. You'll hoard those feelings up and wouldn't make them right. Praise God. We need each other.
Yes.
We're in the last days, church. I need you, and I hope you need me.
Amen.
Amen. Then you get on down, and God reads and your letter of recommendation, and it says here that I find here on your former job, employer states that he bought some power tools to help production, to help things go better, and you refuse to use them. God reads that. What am I referring to? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Be not drunk with wine or its excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That message has been preached in this pulpit many, 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 many times. And what are you going to say when you stand before God? And He said, reads here, I gave you the Holy Ghost, but you wouldn't have Him. You wouldn't seek for Him. You refused to take Him. What will you tell God then? I'm getting down to roots here, church. I know this may not be a Sunday message for you. But what will you tell Him? You say, well, I did seek God for it, and He just didn't give it to me. How much did you seek God? I'll tell you what a lot of times we do. The Spirit gets to moving in the service. We come, we spend a little time pleading with God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Nothing happens. We go home. We never talk to God no more the rest of the week. We never break the Bible open the rest of the week. We never cry out to God for the Holy Ghost. first rest of the week, and then we come back 2 weeks later, the Spirit moves again, and we come up and we pray some more about it. God doesn't work that way. I'm telling you, the Spirit's moving this morning, and you're praying for God, and you don't get it, then you go home that night. You go home the next night. You pray. You cry out to God. You plead to God. God, I need your Spirit. I got work to do. You got work for me. I need you. I guarantee you'll give it to you. I promise you, he'll give it to you. But he knows your heart. You don't get it this time, you'll just wait a while so the Spirit moves in the service. Then you'll go back again. And just do it all over again. Some of you have been doing that for years now. Don't get mad at me. You're going to stand before God. And what will you tell Him when it's been preached to you time after time after time? You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you hand your paper to Him and it says here that you wouldn't seek for it. And then you want Him to tell you, enter in and I'll give you reign over 10 cities. No. It's not going to work that way, church. It's not going to work that way. Praise God. I haven't lost my mind today, church. It's what God laid on my heart. We're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account. And He knows, church. And what's your letter going to say? What's your letter going to say? When you stand before Him. Praise God. Let's stand this morning, please. Praise God. We could go on. I'm out of steam.
Almighty God.
Almighty God.
Almighty God.
Almighty God.
Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts this morning. Help us to heal. Help us to respond to what you spoke in your church this morning, Lord.
What it means, Lord.
Jesus. I want to share one more thing with you, church, if you could just bear with me.
Thank you.
If you just bear with me, I want to share one more thing. I know I asked you to stand, but it'll be all right. I've been standing. This last week when I was in the hospital, I had someone come to me and visit us. And they asked me a question. They said, are you scared? I said, no. Never really had fear. I can honestly say fears of death never has gripped me. I know when the very first time I went in the hospital, fear came in. I had to rebuke that a lot of what am I going to do? And how am I going to provide for my family? All these things. The doctor says, you'll be out for, this will take a year out of your life. And so how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to go? And Satan would come in. I had to rebuke that.
Yeah.
Fear of death never has gripped me, church. I'm ready to go. When I went in there and my temperature kept climbing and kept climbing, I had a doctor just walk right into me and he said, if your heart stops beating, do we have permission to revive you? Even with that, fear didn't grip me. Never had scared of that. There's times I rejoice I could be with God anytime here. I could be with God in moments. In the presence of God. And there's been a lot of times the sadness would quit me. My heart would break. I want to raise my family. I want to help you guys. I want to be with you. Build this church. See God work. I want to see this harvest. And if I miss that, thinking about it breaks my heart. But what saddened me the most through all this, church, is I'm not doubting God. I'm not losing faith here. I know it's So don't take me wrong. It is appointed unto man to die. Sometime you're going to die.
Right.
And I'm going to keep crying out to God until I know that this is the time or not. I'm going to keep crying out to God and doing everything I can. And I hope you'll do the same for me. But what breaks my heart the most is God, if this is my time, I ain't got much to offer to you. I ain't got much to give to you, Lord, to lay at your feet on that day of judgment. I've been faithful to my wife. I've prayed. I've done different things. I was here when this church was established. But I know I could have prayed more. I know I could have fasted more. I know I could have witnessed more. I know I could have done a whole lot more for God. And I said, God, if you take me home now, I ain't got much to offer you. That breaks my heart. And that's why God's laid this message on my heart for you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm saying these things to you because I love you. You're going to stand before God one day too. And you say, well, I've got my whole life yet ahead of me. Can I ask you a question? How long is that?
It's true.
You can't answer it.
No, you can't.
You can't answer it. I thought I had my whole life of many years.
Come on,
I'm still planning on it.
No.
But some of you young people, middle-aged people, well, the docs could outlive you. You don't know.
That's true.
What do you got to lay at God's feet on that day?
Master.
That breaks my heart.
Master.
And that's why God shared this, laid this on my heart for you. What is your resume going to say when you hand it to God? What's it going to say, church? Is it going to say, I cried out to you, God. I burnt the midnight oil. I was an intercessor in prayer. I stood in the gap. Is it going to say that? Is it going to say, God, I was faithful to the church. I was faithful to my brothers and sisters. I was faithful in laboring and building the church and building a church worthy of His name. Is it going to say that? Is it going to say, God, I was filled with Your Spirit and continually to be filled that You could use me and gifts of the Spirit was used through me. And God, You did great and mighty things through these hands. Will it say that? Or are you going to be embarrassed when you hand it to Him? Will you be embarrassed when you hand it to Him? I was embarrassed, church. I'd be embarrassed. God, I ain't got much to offer you. If you give me more time, I'll give you more. I want you to think about that, church. I want you to think about that. What we do on this earth, we determine where we're at in heaven. Don't be satisfied with just trying to get in the door. It's not going to happen. Let's come and pray, church. Come and spend some time in prayer, church. Think about what I said. Think about what I said to you.